podcast. Today we have one of my favorite guests in the probably entire hobby, honestly. Really like having this guy on. He has some great insight into the sports card hobby. And that is the sports card investor, Jeff Wilson. Today we get into the football card market. We get into content creation and some of his content and how he got started. And we also get into, you know, a very big injury in baseball that I'm sure you guys know about. But we get into all those things and more in today's episode. So make sure you guys check out this interview right after this. What is up, guys? We've got another great guest, a returning guest on the Sports Card Second Hotline. Today, we've got the sports card investor, Jeff Wilson. Jeff, how are you doing?
Hey, Jacob. I'm doing great, man. Happy to be back with you here.
Yep, it's great to have you back on the show. And as I've gone to great lengths on this podcast recently, talking about my investing and getting back into cards, you know, I was like, I've definitely got to have him back on just because, you know, I'm back into cards, but, you know, more on the investing side. And who better to talk to in the community than you? I mean, definitely have some great expertise. So let's get right into it. So let's start off. You know, some people who've listened to the first episode, you know, this is old news to them, but new listeners would like to know what, how did you get into your content and where did that all get started?
Yeah, you know, I started doing my YouTube show back in 2019. There weren't many YouTube shows about cards back then. Now there's a lot more. And I kind of got my first break. I went to the 2019 National and it was just me back then. I didn't have a team or anything like that. I was recording shows on my phone or on my iPad. I was editing them myself in iMovie on my Mac. It was super simple. But I went to that National in 2019 and there was not really anyone there filming the National. And so I walked around with my phone and I took some video from the National and then I did a little report. You know, I set up a little tripod in the corner with my phone on it and I just gave a little commentary about what I was seeing at the National. I uploaded the video that night to YouTube. I went back to my hotel room at the National. By the way, nobody knew who I was back then. Like, no, I had like 100 subscribers on my channel and that was it. And I uploaded the video. And that video got a couple thousand views. And that was my first video that ever went over probably like none of my other videos had gotten more than like maybe 100 or 200 views. And this one all of a sudden got a couple thousand. Well, the reason why is because people were at home searching for the National when they couldn't be there, right? They were home. They were missing out. They were feeling like, oh man, I wish I could have gone to the National, but I couldn't make it this year. So they went on, they were searching on YouTube just to see if anybody was putting any content out about the National. I happened to put out a video, not many other people were. And so the people that were searching found my video, they found me, they subscribed to my channel, and I started to build up a little bit of an audience from there. And I just kept doing video after video after video. I try to keep up with it. You know, it's all about kind of repetition and continuing to build audience over time. It takes a lot of work. But, you know, over the course of many months, the audience build and build. And then over the course of the last, you know, 4 years, it's been over 4 years now since we started. Obviously, the audience has grown a lot.
Yeah, I mean, it's awesome to, you know, see literally any, like, you know, when I got started, I was in the same boat as you. Literally, like, nobody listened. It was like my grandma and like three of my friends would listen. And now it's, you know, a lot more people that, you know, it's really interesting to see how, you know, sometimes one thing can sort of boost, completely change your, you know, trajectory of your content. And, you know, on YouTube, that's a lot different because, you know, algorithm and all that. But it's just really cool, you know, literally anybody of any of my listeners, if you put enough work into it and, you know, put enough, if you're actually being consistent, then, you know, someone's going to see it and then another someone's going to see it and, you know, so on. So
If you go for it, yeah, absolutely. It's about consistency. It's about, you know, working hard at it. And sometimes you'll go on for a while and maybe you don't get a lot of people listening. And maybe that's a sign that maybe you have to change it up a little bit. Like maybe you're, you know, maybe you need to change up the length of what you're doing or the style of what you're doing or the topics you're covering or go after a little bit of a different niche. So, you know, you're getting real time feedback, right? It's either people are really latching onto it and it's growing. And then that means the feedback's good. And just to keep doing it, keep up the repetition, Or if it's kind of stale and it's stagnant and you're not really growing and you've been at it for a while, then maybe the feedback is let's mix it up a little bit. Let's change it up. Let's see if we can find a formula that works. I mean, even at Sports Card Investor, even though we have a big audience, we're still constantly tweaking our content. Like we're constantly trying different things, whether it's different styles of videos or different, you know, ways to edit videos. We're trying different things. Some of our videos that we know work are very consistent, like our top five every Tuesday, right? But like on Sundays, our Sunday videos are always something a little bit different. A lot of times they're from card shows, but sometimes they're me in the studio. Sometimes they're, you know, different types of episodes, profiling people's collections, whatever that may be. And even like the card show videos, which tend to be really popular when we do them, we even mix those up. Like sometimes I'm dealing at a dealer table. Sometimes I'm wandering around the show floor. Sometimes there's a spending challenge. You know, sometimes I'm looking for a modern card. Sometimes I'm looking for a vintage card. You know, there's just different ways of trying to kind of mix those videos up.
Yeah. Yeah, I definitely think you and your team definitely have a good idea with, you know, sort of giving a variety. You know, you've got the staple, you've got the top five Tuesday, you've got the staple that, you know, has been around basically, you know, as long as I can remember. And I've been subscribed since COVID almost. So, you know, it's been around forever. And then you've got, you know, your video that changes up, you've got, you know, different card shows, different challenges, and, you know, even what I like to, you know, my favorite actually niche on YouTube is like mini documentary or sort of like, you know, some you can watch, you know, you consume in 25 minutes and sort of like a deep dive into something. And I've really liked your collection profiles. I really enjoyed those, just seeing some of the insane things like that Mickey Mantle PSA 10 and stuff like that. You know, whenever me and my dad were watching this, we were just looking at you and like, being like, man, if we were in your shoes, like, I feel like I'd be breaking down into tears holding something like that. Like, what a card. I mean, I don't think they could trust me to hold it, but man, what a card that would be.
It's a cool experience. I'm lucky I get to do it. But you know, the cool thing about it, you know, Jacob, is like 4 years ago, nobody knew who I was in the sports card world. Like nobody. Like this all kind of grew from scratch. And you know, obviously I got some lucky breaks along the way. Like my timing was good. I got in right before the boom. Like the whole thing worked out for me. It doesn't always work out that way. This time it worked out for me. But the more things you try, the more at bats you give yourself, the more consistent you are about things and the more chances you take, the more opportunities you have to like get those breaks and then have something really work out. And obviously this, you know, this has been an incredible journey. I've been lucky to have this work out the way that it has.
Yeah, for real. I mean, yeah, you love to see it in content. And, you know, you have one of the biggest, you know, audiences on YouTube these days. So it's pretty awesome to see that. So, you know, I do have a lot of people that, you know, younger audience that ask me, you know, how can I start a podcast or a YouTube channel or what can I do to, you know, sort of get started? So what is some advice you have for them?
First of all, just start, because your first episodes aren't going to be very good and probably very few people are going to watch them other than your friends and, you know, your family. So don't worry too much about it and just do it. Like if you go back even and watch like Mr. Beast's first episodes or something like that, like they're not good. They're nothing like they are today. The first episodes of Sports Card Investor, very bad compared to how they look today. Like I was, you know, literally filming them on my iPad. The editing's bad. The whole thing's bad. And compared to today, even the way that I talked on camera, how I've kind of projected my personality. Back then I was super dry. The whole thing was very dry. It wasn't good. It wasn't entertaining. You know, it's much more entertaining today. You get better with practice. You get better by doing it. You get better by watching yourself. You get better by getting feedback from your audience. So my number one advice would be just start doing it. Just start, you know, the nice thing about like trying to do YouTube or something today or a podcast like you're doing is it doesn't take a lot of equipment. Like you can use your smartphone. Yep. There's plenty of programs on your phone, apps that you can download that help you edit a video. Or you can, if you have a laptop, you can, you know, transfer the file to your laptop and edit it on your laptop. There's free video editors, you know, Apple Macs come with iMovie for free. That's what I used at first. And so just try it, just try stuff, put it up on YouTube, see what it's like, show it to your friends, see what they think. And then, you know, over time you can kind of dial in on it. It's important to, you know, ask yourself, are you having fun with it too? Right? Like if you're passionate about it, like I love doing it. Like I loved creating the videos. For me, it was a lot of fun, not a lot of work. And I think you aren't going to know until you start as to whether it's going to feel fun and you're going to want to keep doing it or whether it's going to feel like work. If it feels a lot like work and you're not having fun, then do something else, you know, try something else. Maybe there's another way to put out sports card content, you know, that you'll like better. But if you're having fun with it and you're enjoying the whole process, then keep going.
Yeah, I agree with you. I mean, yeah, if you listen to my first 5 or 10 episodes, they are terrible. Like, you know, I laugh at them sometimes. Like I'll go back and be like, wow, that was just not, you know, the way my confidence when I was talking and stuff like that is just a lot different now. It's really just about practice, in my opinion. If you are really practicing, you know, my first interview was not very good, but now I, you know, am able, you know, I'm more prepared when I start and more, you know, I know my routine every time and just stuff like that. So like, yeah, first of all, get started. But second of all, 100%, like you said, if you're not having fun, find something else, because content creating should always be fun. Almost always. You know, there's a lot of work that goes into it, but if you're not, you know, enjoying the results you're getting out of it, not enjoying the content you're putting into it, you know, it's not worth your time if it's going to feel like work, because, you know, eventually you're going to have an actual day job. And then if your content's feeling like work, then what are you doing besides working all day? Like it's not even worth, you know, wasting your time on something that you're not having fun with. So I would definitely, you know, find what you're interested in and find, you know, do what you want to do, because if you're doing well, if you're consistent, then someone is going to watch it. I guarantee you that, because, you know, there's so many different ways you can put out sports content, sports card content, and things like that. So, you know, if you're consistent and, you know, you practice, then eventually, you know, your results are going to pay off. And, you know, I hate to say this because it's so cheesy and cliche, but practice literally makes perfect. Like it really does eventually pay off for, especially for content, in my opinion. So, you know, moving off content now, we are into my favorite time of the year, and I'm sure one of your favorites as well as a sports card investor, and it is the football season. So
yeah,
let's start off. Who are some of the guys you're looking for? And, you know, if you've been watching the Sports Card Investor channel, you may have noticed some interesting Desmond Ridder pickups. So I want to hear about some of your Desmond Ridder. I mean, obviously, you know, it is a little bit of a homer pick where you're based, but, you know, I want to hear about some of your picks and some of those, you know, players you're going after.
Guys, I liked a lot this offseason. I was picking up Desmond Ridder because I felt like he was flying under the radar. And I felt like the Falcons were a really good situation. I felt like the Falcons, they have the second easiest schedule in the NFL. They have a lot of offensive weapons. They're a very young team. And I felt like Ridder didn't have to do too much, and yet the team would still probably win a lot of games and he would look good. So that's one of the reasons why I like Desmond Ridder. That plus his cards were a lot cheaper than a lot of the other quarterbacks people were chasing. People were chasing Kenny Pickett. They were chasing even Sam Howell recently. They were chasing, you know, Justin Fields and guys like that. They weren't paying much attention to Desmond Ridder. So for me, there was an opportunity there. I like Desmond Ridder. I was picking up Jalen Hurts this offseason. Jalen Hurts, he's obviously much better known. But the reason why I like Jalen Hurts is I felt like the Eagles have a good chance of going back to the Super Bowl again. And his cards, believe it or not, they're still cheaper than Justin Herbert. They're, you know, they're significantly cheaper than Joe Burrow. They were even at times this summer cheaper than Justin Fields, which made no sense to me. So I felt like Jalen Hurts, you know, is a little bit overlooked. And then the other guy I was picking up this offseason was Tua. And, you know, I think people were real down on him because of the concussions and the risk. And look, he's very, very risky. Who knows what's going to happen with him? But week one was a great, great sign of his potential. So if he can stay healthy, I think Tua can be a very special player. So those were three guys I was looking at that I've been buying. I excited to see how all three of those guys did in week one. Maybe Hurts not as much. The Eagles were a little, maybe a little quiet compared to how people thought they would be. But look, they all, you know, they all won their game. So we got, you know, so hopefully that will continue, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, your Tua pick is looking very good after week one. I mean, you know, we saw him and Tyreek Hill. The connection there is really special. And honestly, I do agree with you on Ridder. They've got Bijan Robinson, Tyler Algier as the RB2. He also had a very good game, which is crazy considering, you know, Bijan is also on the team. They've got Drake London. They've got Kyle Pitts, who out of college was possibly one of my favorite players. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, I did buy quite a bit of Kyle Pitts, but you know, he's still very young, so we could see still a lot from him. But you know, a couple guys that I've been chasing, I want to get your opinion on a couple of my picks. Justin Fields was definitely one of those guys. Really like Justin Fields. You know, the rushing upside for me, and you know, he managed to stay healthy last year, so hopefully we'll see it again this year. 1,000 plus rushing yards last year, second most of all time, so I really liked him. And then Trevor Lawrence, who was pretty expensive this offseason, but, you know, I just think, I mean, unfortunately, the expectations are also very high, but I think if he shows out, then I think the cards are solidified, and I think he's a nice profit. So what do you think about Fields and Lawrence this season?
It's going to be exciting to see how they do. Obviously, Fields had a little bit of a rough week one, more so the Bears, not, you know, not Fields was okay. The Bears themselves had kind of a bad week one, right? So we'll see. The thing I like about Justin Fields is they only have to be a bit better than last year for us to see progress. And last year they were real bad. So the bar is pretty low. So as long as, you know, if Justin Fields can somehow lead them to 7 or 8 wins this year, that's still good progress over last year. And people will remain, I think, optimistic about Justin Fields if that's the case. Now, if they end up, you know, 3-14 this year or something like that, then that's a different story. And so that's the risk. How they looked week one wasn't great, but hopefully they get it together. It's a long season. You know, don't overreact to week one. Trevor Lawrence, I've liked Trevor Lawrence ever since he was drafted because people, the NFL draft, you know, prognosticators kept saying, like, this guy is one of the highest rated quarterbacks ever to come out of college. He was up there with Peyton Manning. He was up there with Andrew Luck, you know, in terms of like talent level coming out of college. And so they saw a lot in him. So that got me enthusiastic. And I think so far he's been pretty good. Yeah. You are right, though. The expectations are high on him. So he's got to really show this year that he's on up there with a Joe Burrow, with a Justin Herbert, you know, with kind of that level of quarterback. I think if he doesn't get there, then maybe it hurts his market a little bit. But if he, as you said, if he balls out, then that can really, you know, keep his prices holding strong and going up.
Yeah. You know, on Fields and Lawrence, you know, this offseason, like at card shows, I was seeing Fields Optic rookie cards in like a massive stack of them for like $5. Like, I feel like, you know, a guy of that level, like, I feel like I could easily sell all of those for like $15 each. And then, you know, some of the more higher and like numbered and Prism Silvers. And, you know, if we get into that, those I feel like were also very far down. And I feel like football is definitely the best sport to buy in the off season if you're going to try and sell them during the season, because I feel like the cards really come down during the summer. You know, baseball and basketball has such a short transition. You know, basketball does have some good potential, like you have been talking about recently on your YouTube channel with like Anthony Edwards, because, you know, there's the summer ball, like USA ball and stuff like that. But, you know, they have such a short transition, baseball and basketball do, where it's hard for the market to come down far enough to make like a few of the guys investable. But because, you know, you have to pick, like in basketball, I feel like you have to more pick a few guys instead of in football, you can sort of spread around because almost everybody is down quite a bit over the summer. So that's why I like buying football in the summer. So, you know, if you guys are, you know, wanting to buy somebody, honestly, during the season is sometimes not the time. Now, if you buy somebody and they, you know, have a great performance and their team makes the playoffs, makes the AFC championship or whatever, then, you know, you could win. But it is a lot more risky during the season due to injuries. And, you know, it's not just to the one player. It's the team performance as well. Football is a 22-man game. So, you know, you have to be, you know, have to be cautious when you're buying during the season.
Good advice. I agree for sure.
Yeah, for sure. So one more thing, let's get into, I saw you had a large update on Market Movers, with a sales history. So I would like to let you promote, you know, some of your Market Movers and your new features that you've added to that, because I feel like that's really helpful to people, you know, looking to buy during this football season.
I appreciate it. Yeah. We Market Movers is really, an awesome tool. Now we did a update to it right before the national, where, you know, Market Movers has the largest database of cards of any database in the sports card hobby of its type, where we're tracking over 2 million cards. But even tracking over 2 million cards, there's still a lot of cards that we don't track because there's so many new cards that are coming out every single month. We can't, like, it's almost impossible for us to get them all in Market Movers. So what would happen is people would be like, well, that's great, you got a lot of my cards, but you don't have this one that I just pulled, and you don't have this one that I just was looking at the card show. And that would be a source of frustration for people, because then they couldn't look up comps well on those cards. So what we've now done is we've added the sales history feature. And what that means is that now, if it's not one of our featured cards, it will look against the entire history of all of the sales on eBay, on PWCC, on Golden, and on Heritage, and on Mice Labs, going back many months. And it will find any match. So even if, you know, even if we don't have your, you know, Obsidian Etch, you know, out of 10, like some rare card in our database, we'll still be able to pull up any sales of that card that have occurred. And so that's the new sales history feature. And it's really helpful. I've used it myself a lot over the last month, and it's been great.
Yeah, I feel like that's really important for collectors, because I feel like we did talk about that last time where, you know, it was, you know, kind of frustrating for people to not be able to find, you know, a very specific card. So I feel like that's really important, because you've brought it all together. You've got all these, you know, very complex, you know, charts and data on all these, you know, very featured, like feature cards, like, you know, your Prism Silvers and your, you know, Optic Hollows and, you know, Downtowns and Kabooms and all that. But now you've got, you know, every sale from anything else, like, you know, your number to 25, your number to 10, your number to 5 cards. So I think that's really important to have in a database, because you literally have it all brought together. Like, there is nothing you cannot find basically in Market Movers now. Like, it's, you know, I feel like that's really important to bring it all together. But move on to the next topic for tonight. And, you know, recently in the last few weeks, a very big injury has happened in the baseball world. You know, some of the, you know, a player was, you know, being called one of the greatest players of all time. He was having the greatest season in history, and he goes down with a UCL tear. That player was Shohei Ohtani, and his market has taken a huge hit, and not only his market, but the entire baseball market, because he was such a big part this season. So how are you handling Shohei Ohtani after his injury? Because, look, his market has taken a huge hit. So how are you handling selling his cards and buying his cards?
I think if you're buying right now, try to buy at a discount, obviously. You know, don't pay what the cards were worth 30 days ago. But if you have his cards, you know, I wouldn't panic. Like, this guy this offseason is likely going to move to a contender, a real contender. He's probably going to get one of the best contracts in baseball history, if not the best. And he's likely going to move to a team that has aspirations to, you know, win the World Series. That's going to be big. And when he gets traded, people are going to get excited about Shohei Ohtani again. Now, next year, he may not pitch, but he probably will play, and he probably will hit. And he's a great hitter. And maybe a year of just playing hitter will, you know, allow him to be an even more aggressive hitter and powerful hitter than he was in the past. So I wouldn't panic. You know, obviously it's not good news. It's not, you know, we all wish he was out there finishing up the season pitching. but I don't think it's a panic, you know, and sell all of his cards immediately type situation. If you're willing to hold on, his cards could go down a little more. I wouldn't be surprised if they go down a little more over the next couple of months. And then I think once news comes out of free agency and everything like that, then they'll probably start to stabilize and maybe go back up. So if you feel like you have to sell, I guess probably sell now if you have to, because they might go down a little bit more. But I think your better bet is just to be patient and wait. And I think there will be better days ahead.
I agree with you. Because so many people are panicking, it makes total sense for me to hold and, you know, buy at a discount for sure. Because, you know, the big event that's coming up that is almost, it is guaranteed in Ohtani's career. He's going to go to a new team and he's going to have a huge contract. And that is a guaranteed event. That's an event in a player's career that everybody looks for. Look at LeBron. Yeah. I mean, immediately his cards absolutely explode. His Revolution rookie card, raw, like 2018 Revolution or whatever, for a few weeks is going for like $30 just because it was the first Lakers card of LeBron.
Yep.
Like, you just got to look at events in a player's career that are very important. So that isn't a guaranteed event of Ohtani that we know is going to be coming. So that's definitely, I would at least hold till then if you have to sell then. But, you know, I think next season he's going to be have another great season. So
I would agree with you. Don't panic.
Yeah, don't panic.
I would agree with you.
Yep. So before we go, is there anything else you would like to promote to the audience, and, you know, just your socials and everything? You have the floor.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, one thing that might be interesting is earlier this year, I started a new show. It's also a podcast called The Jeff Wilson Show. And it's a different channel on YouTube than the Sports Card Investor channel. It's called The Jeff Wilson Show. And it's all like interviews and longer discussions with a lot of the leaders in the hobby. And so that's kind of a cool thing to check out. And if you follow me on social at It's Jeff Wilson, I often include clips from that show. Just, you know, follow obviously Sports Card Investor, It's Jeff Wilson. And we're going to keep cranking out content and hopefully keeping everybody in the hobby entertained and informed and educated.
Yeah. Yeah. Sounds good. Make sure you guys check out Sports Card Investor, literally anywhere. You can go to the website, sportscardinvestor.com, and check out, you know, all of their stuff, all of the affiliate links, all of their contents there. And you can do their bulk grading. You can sign up for Market Movers there. So all kinds of stuff. That's my favorite central hub to check out. And also, he does have a free app. If you guys are not, if you're looking to, you know, try out some of the features of Market Movers, but for free, check out Sports Card Investor in the App Store. Great app. I've been using it since it came out. So definitely make sure you guys check that out, as well as Market Movers. And
that's awesome. Thank you, Jacob.
Yep. All right. That will wrap up our interview with Jeff. Everybody, make sure you stay tuned. We'll be back right after this break. If you guys have noticed some links in the show description, those are my new affiliate links with eBay and Fanatics. If you click on those and shop as planned within the next 24 hours of clicking on it, I will get a small commission of the process. That would really help out the show in paying for some of the expenses and, you know, upgrading, you know, some of my accounts and stuff like that. So that would be really helpful if you guys use my affiliate links for eBay and Fanatics in the show description. All right, guys, I hope you enjoyed my interview with Jeff Wilson. I sure did. I really enjoyed, you know, getting some of his insight and expertise in the hobby and the content world as well. So that will wrap up episode 93. I hope you guys, if you enjoyed this episode, you know, we'll drop a follow and a 5-star rating review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts. It really means a lot to me, and, you know, really helps the show grow as well. So that will wrap up episode 93. Keep collecting. Peace.